Introduction to Masechta Zeirvin. I'm just trying to give a brief introduction. Masechta Zeirvin, as you're familiar with already, sweet, I cannot compete with you. Either walk out or be quiet. Yeah. Okay, so the Masechta deals with the halachas of how to have what's called halachically. What we refer to colloquially as the Eiriv is really incorrect. Actually, what we're referring to is called halacha mechitza. Mechitza means a partition or a wall. We want to close an area, we have to put a mechitza around it. We have to put some type of enclosure around it. Halachically, what types of items are valid enclosures in halacha? So the first two prokim deal with that topic. What's called a mechitza? What is a valid mechitza? That's what the majority of the main point of the first two prokim. The next three prokim actually deal with the halachas of tchumah. That a person has a halacha, the person outside of the city, a person is allowed to travel 2,000 amos on Shabbos, and after that he may not. There is a halacha called eruv tchumah, which a person sets up what we call an eruv. At the end of his tchum, it allows him to extend the distance. The question of, I don't know, if your city is misshapen, if the city is a nice, beautiful square, that's very nice. You know, your city's a rectangle, it's nice. So your city is circular, your city is a triangle, your city is shaped like a bow, your city is, how do you calculate where the end of the city is, and you calculate your tchum from there. So the Mishnah is going to deal with that. For what purposes are you allowed to make an eruv tchum? So that takes you through the third, fourth, and fifth parakim. The sixth, seventh, eighth, and ninth deal with the halachas of eruv chetzeres, which is what we refer to as eruv chetzeres. The eruv, the actual eruv, halachically eruv, is that Chazal came along and said, we know the midaraisa, you had him set the Shabbos, a person cannot carry from a rishus hayachid to rishus haravim. Now, the definition of Rishus HaYach, Rishus HaRabim, we use those words, we have to think about it for a second. Well, I have an area which is a Rishus HaYach, halachically, is enclosed by walls which are 10 tefachim high, on all four sides. It's owned by a corporation. It's owned by the city. It's Rishus of the Rabim, in the sense that it's owned by a lot of people, but halachically, it's Rishus HaYach, because it has walls. So we have a walled city. A walled city is Rishus HaYachid in halacha, even though there is, in the regards of the halachas of carrying on Shabbat, that's called Rishus HaYachid. But if I'd ask you, that's Rishus of the Rabbin, right? That's what we would call it. In our minds, colloquially, we're going to call that, that's Rishus of the Rabbin. Alternatively, I can have an area which meets the criteria of Rishus HaRabbin. It's this wide, nice wide street, it's 16 amas wide, it's made for travel, etc., and it's owned by a Yachid, right? Even though halachically that's called Rishus HaRabim, it was made for the travel of people to travel on. In our minds, it's the Rishus, it's the ownership of Rav Yochid. So now that's not correct in halacha, but that's how we're going to refer to it. So Chazal, we're aware of this problem that people are going to say, well, if I'm allowed to carry from my house, which is Rishus HaYochid, me, into the Chatzar, which is the Rishus of the Rabim of all of us in the Chatzar, you're allowed to carry from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim. Well, next thing you know, the guy's going to carry from Halacha Rishus HaYachid to the street, which is Rishus HaRabim. So he said, you know what, you can't carry until you guys become one unit. You become one unit, then you look at it, we're the Yachid, we're one big unit. So that's the Chazal required of Ruvich and Seiris. But we come together, and we make this whole Chatzar into one unit. We make this whole Mavi into one unit. And we'll talk about a Chatzar and a Mavi are in a moment. So Chazal came and required what's called a Ruvich and Seiris. What is a valid way to make it Ruvich and Seiris? What do you need to do to make it Ruvich and Seiris? So that's all going to be discussed. That's going to cover you from the 6th through 9th parakim. The 10th parak actually talks about, it starts with Erevin and then it goes off to a lot of other topics like the Moras want to do. Basically, it's talking about where Chazal permitted his, the first case is carrying Drabonon. Cases of Hitzor, which are Drabonon, where Chazal permitted it. The example which the Mishnah gives, the person found tefillin out in the field. The person found a pair of tefillin out in the field. on Shabbos, it's not covered to leave it there. What can he do? How can he carry them in? Can he wear them? Cannot wear them, etc. From there, it goes into discussion about what things are permitted in the Beis HaMikdash, what Rabbanans they allowed in the Beis HaMikdash, what Rabbanans they did not allow in the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash, in general, there's a concept of Ein Shus HaMikdash. We do not have the Rabbanans in the Beis HaMikdash. They permitted the Rabbanans in the Beis HaMikdash, but the question is, what and where? So that's the last parak. The last parak really goes off of the top off topic of Masechta Zeirut. Let's go back a little bit and just define some terms. So we're going to meet a chatzer. We're going to meet a mavli. We're going to meet a karfef. Those are probably the three most predominant terms you're going to get here in the Masechta. Mishus Yachid, Rabbi, you met in Masechta Shabbos already. Just a quick review of that. Rosh Hashanah Yachid is an area which has to be 10 tefachim. It's surrounded by a mechitza, or set off from the area around it by something which is 10 tefachim high. It's at least 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim. I'm going to give an introduction here, and then I'm going to give a shir.
Okay.
So you can join the introduction if you want. You heard it already. That's the definition of Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Rosh Hashanah Rabim is something which is 16 amas wide. It's made for the travel, or alternatively, the gathering place in the middle of the city, the plaza, would also be Rosh Hashanah Rabim. There are certain negatives to make something which, that take away from it, the Rosh Hashanah Rabim. It can't have a roof on top of it. It doesn't have walls. There are certain things which take it away from the status of being Rosh Hashanah Rabim. So those we've had already Masechta Shabbos. Back in the, you had Masechta Shabbos back in the Dav Vav and Dav Zayin. Over here, you're going to meet what's called a chatzer. A chatzer is the area which is in front of the homes. It's at least two, halachically for our purposes, there are at least two homes which access into this chatzer to get it within a chatzer. It's a courtyard in front of the homes. The way they used to build the city was that you'd have many homes opening into a chatzer. You'd have a multiple amount of chatzeris opening into a mavi, which is that's called an alleyway, which took from the chatzeris into the Rosh Hashanah Rabim, or into the main streets. So you would have chatzeris around the mavi. Mavi would take you out to the main street. I'm sure you have a picture with me around me. I'm sure you do. I'm sure they're not going to have a very nice picture somewhere in the front of the way the cities were built. So that starts with the starting point is a chatzer. The houses would open into, okay, good. Right, okay. So you'd have the houses opening into a chatzer. For our purposes, a chatzer has to have at least two homes opening into it. It's owned by everybody together. So in that sense, it's like it belongs to a group. If you have a situation where only one person owns it, let's say a father and his sons all lived in the same chatzer, we'll discuss later on in the seventh parak, so to talk about what status does that have? Has a dinner with chutzner or not? In some cases, yes. Some cases, no. Depending how they eat, and it has four walls. So halacha leitzur shasayachid, because Chazal prohibited you to carry there. From the chetzeris, you go to the mavi, the alleyway. The alleyway could come in two forms. It could be what's known as a mavi sasum, which means it's enclosed on three sides. Let's say there's a back wall. Besides the back wall, you have the two sides where the chatzeris are opening into. And then you have the main street. You also have what's called a mavi mefulish, which means it's open on two ends. So the chatzeris feed into the mavi, and the mavi is open. You have two, there's a rishusaram on one end, rishusaram on the other end. Or there's a carmelis, it's a park out there. There's the river out there on one end, there's the street on the other end. You can all those scenarios. That's called the mavi. Chazal, it's surrounded on two to three sides. Midaraisa, according to most Rishonim, if it has three walls, it's Rosh Hashanah Yachid, halachically. The Rambam holds it's not Rosh Hashanah Yachid until you have four walls. But most Rishonim hold it's Rosh Hashanah Yachid if you have three walls. So you have three walls, it's Rosh Hashanah Yachid. But again, because Chazal said you can't carry, this is made for the usage of all these different chateras, etc. You can't carry there. Chazal said, in order to be able to carry there, you're going to need the equivalent of what's called a rubi chatzeris. You have to join together in one unit. It's referred to the law as shetute mavuos. The other members of the mavi are mishtatev. They join together in a shetus. But besides that, we need to enclose the fourth side. So what's a valid enclosure for the fourth side? So the first mishnah deals with what are the types of valid enclosure for the fourth side. And the valid enclosure for the fourth side, one of them is a kara. You put a beam across. the front end.
On top.
And on top. You put it on top of the wall, you put a beam across. And the Mishnah will deal with how if it's too high or if it's too low, etc. How wide it has to be, the more we'll talk about how wide it has to be. The Mishnah will talk about it around how strong it has to be. Is there any difference width and strength? You know, at some point the strength is not significant because the width is large enough. So that's the first Mishnah to deal with that. That's called Kara. There's another hetzer called Lechi. Lechi is they would put one vertical pole on, at the front of the opening on one side. That's all you need. You don't need a cross beam. All you need is one pole, a lechi. How large does a lechi have to be? Is there any difference if you put two of them? Can I say, well, lechi has to be a certain size? But if there's two lechis, maybe it's more kuladik. We'll talk about that. There's a third option, which is what we're most familiar with. It's called Suras HaPesach. Suras HaPesach is the Moore's language, it has, there's a kana on this side, a kana on that side, and there's a kana gabayin. There's two doorposts, as it were, and there's a lintel on top. Suras HaPesach is a halachic enclosure. All these halachic, Suras HaPesach is a halachic Moshe Mesinai, that it works. Kara and Lechi are machlokes in the Gemara, what they are, whether those work as concept of a mechitza, or they work based on the digits as a reminder that this is the end of the Mavi, and the Mavi is different than Rishas HaRabim, and a Mavi Rishas HaRabim you cannot carry, and a Mavi you could. That's a mechitza in the Gemara. But Suras HaPesach is clearly a halacha of a mechitza. It's called an enclosure, halacha Moshe Mesinai, it's called an enclosure. When we talk about the Erev around the city, we're usually referring to it Suras HaPesach. We're going to make around the city. That's a colloquial usage, not the correct usage. Really, it's a mechitza. It's a mechitza around the city. We're going to close it with this idea of a form of a door. So it has a pole here, a pole here, and a string on top. So that can be your telephone pole, as long as the string goes over the top. The more says if it's minatzad, if the wire, the top wire is attached by the side of the pole, it's not going to work. It has to go over the top of the pole. So most telephone poles don't work for us because they don't go over the top. So we talk about using the telephone wires around the city, which means we're going to have to make some type of a pole under, some type of vertical under the telephone wire to allow us to use the telephone wires around the city. So that's talk about the mechitza. That's the second of this. That's your chatzar, that's your mavi. The third area is called a karfet. Karviv is an area which was basically not used for actual living in. It wasn't a courtyard. It wasn't a mavi. It was a place you would store things, a place you would allow animals to graze, etc. It can be enclosed. And actually could have an enclosure of the 10 tefachim high. So, minarises, which is a yachid, possibly. But if it's larger than a certain area, and it's not made for living in, people perceive it like a karmelis, like an open space. So Chazal limited our what you could do in a karfev. One issue. Second issue is if you have a karfev, the karfev sometimes will break your enclosure around the city. I was to say, I'm enclosed this whole area. Well, now the whole area is a place to live in. Well, there's this big lake in the middle of the city. There's a big pond. So how does that affect your area around the city? What halachas does that have? We will differentiate an halacha between a karfev, which is mukaf ladira, which has been enclosed with homes there already in it, or home accessing it, so it's made for the usage of the house. It's in a karfev, which is not mukaf ladira, it wasn't enclosed for the purpose of living in it. So that you're going to get later on in the Masechta. That's going to be in the sixth parak. I think sixth parak, right? That becomes significant when you're building a Reuven, etc. So what's a problematic area? Sometimes we have to close that off so it shouldn't affect the area of around the city, etc. There's going to be other halachos of Moshe Mesinai, which you've met some of them along the way, but there's a few interesting ones that you're going to get in Erevin. The first one is Lavud. Lavud is if a gap is less than 3 tefachim wide, less than 3 tefachim wide. 3 tefachim already is not Lavud anymore. Less than 3 tefachim wide is considered that there's no opening. Okay? There's a machlokes in the Rishonim already, how we look at Lavud. Do we look at Lavud as if there's no gap? Do we look at it as if the gap is filled? Right? Practical difference, you have actually Hilchos Sukkah. When you will learn Masechta Sukkah, depending on what cycle you're in. So you'll learn it again, Rez Hashem. So you'll get a case where we know that Schach Posel is four tefachim. If there's Schach Posel going across your Sukkah, which is four tefachim wide, so it can pass all the Sukkah. schach, which is attached to the ground. Schach, which is not made out of, it's made out of things which are not, didn't grow on the ground. There's some metal there. It's support, it's, you know, it's areas which are called schach posel. Four tefachim wide will posel the sukkah. Air space going across, three tefachim wide will posel the sukkah. So what if I have a case where I have schach posel, which is two tefachim wide, then an airspace of two tefachim, and then a schach posel, which is two tefachim wide. So if I look at it as if there's no gap, so I have four tefachim of schach posel. My sukkah is not posel. If I look at it as if it's filled, so what's it filled with? Halacha is it's filled with valid things. Why do I have to assume invalid things? So you say it's two tefachim of non-valid schach, two virtual tefachim of valid schach, and two of non-valid. It's not four in a row. It's the only problem is four tefachim contiguous. That you have a problem. So here's not contiguous, it's not going to be a problem. So how we look at love, it is going to be a question. So that's the discussion of the Rishonim over here in the Masechta. You have good asik and good achis. If you have a wall, halachic wall, which means it's 10 tefachim high, it meets the criteria of a wall, and it's not flush with the ground, it's raised above the ground. Or, so can we say a concept called good, that the wall extends down to the ground. That's halachic moshe mesina, that extends down. The more we say that sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. The fact that there's access under it sometimes can break the wall. That's a great wall, you can access through it. So by terms of passage, that doesn't bother us, that we access through that. With one exception. If there's a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim going through a Tzurus HaPesach, end of your Tzurus HaPesach. But otherwise, access doesn't bother us. But by the Din of Kud Asik, the wall goes down, any access would be problematic. However, if it's over water, if you have a porch which it goes out over a lake, we're going to say that the Din of Kud Achis, for that part of the lake is enclosed, and I can draw water out of there on Shabbos. Because I'm not taking from the Carmelist, the lake, which is a Carmelist in my house, I'm taking from Shasu Yachid, because it's been enclosed. It's not enclosed. My porch is above it. Well, the wall of the porch goes down into the water. The fact that there's fish going on beneath it doesn't bother us. The Kiyas Dogim is not a problem. But if little goats can get under it, it's on the ground, little goats can get, Kiyas Gedeim, the more you use Dogim and Gedeim, just to get you confused. Okay? So make sure you have all the letters right. Is a problem. So that's the good. What about good asik? That the mechitza goes up. It goes up to the shemayim. So the airspace above Rishus HaYachid is considered Rishus HaYachid. There is, besides love and besides the din of good asik, there is actually a case that you had it in the Sefer Sukkah of Chavot Rami, where you can connect the items which are higher and lower. So if you have a kura which is half the size that you need and another kura which is half the size that you need, can you connect them? What type of airspace allows you to connect them? There's a din. If it works along the din of good asik, but good asik requires a wall which is 10 tefachim high. If I have an air which is enclosed by three sides, and I have a roof on top of it, can I say that the face of the roof is considered like the fourth side? So the more it says, is it halacha moshe sina? That's considered the face of the roof. It's considered as if there's a wall there and it comes down. Assuming I have enclosure on all three, on the other three sides. Less than that is machlokes rishonim. That the face of the pi tikra is yard v'soisim. The front of the tikra, as long as the tikra is a tefach wide and at least four tefachim deep, so I can use that the face of the tikra and it's flat. I can use the face of the tikra to consider it if it's a wall there and it closes. So these are halachos moshe mesinai that those work. So you have various different types of mechitza we're going to meet. The enclosure for a chotzer, interestingly enough, Chazal made it more. If my chotzer is open on the fourth side, so we need to enclose with something even more. What's called a pas, which is the same thing as a lechi. It's on one of the sides. If I have three sides closed and one side open, so for a mavet, I just put this little lechi over here, and I'm good. That's all I need is just a lechi. For a chotzer, I need something larger. I need a pass, which is four tefachim wide, at least. Because I'll require more for that. One of the most interesting things which comes up in the Masechta is the concept of Ayman Meruba, which is that, because the halacha recognizes that, we say, well, it's enclosed on all four sides, so how do you get in? Right? Doorways are okay, and even without a door, but it's made for access, it's not a problem. So the fact that you have a doorway, you have an opening, you have a doorway, that's not a problem, that's fine. Okay, so now when we say that the access, okay, how many accesses can you have? I can have two. What about four? What about six? What about eight? What about ten? What about there are three amas wide? What about eight amas wide? Where does it change from being a doorway to being you have a break in your wall. And that the wall is not considered a wall. So there's two concepts in halacha. One is called Oymen Meruba, if the majority is enclosed. We need the majority of the area to be enclosed. According to most Rishonim, that applies to each wall independently. So I have two complete walls, and then the third and fourth wall have openings in them. I say, well, listen, well, I have two complete walls. I'm guaranteed Oymen Meruba, whatever I have. But if you add it all up, so I'm guaranteed. Well, no. We look at each wall independently. So this wall, I have to have the majority of the area being closed. And my fourth wall, the same thing. That's one issue called Oymen Meruba. So if the majority is closed, we're good. The second thing is the pirtzim. It's too wide. I don't care how, I have a very long wall. I have a wall which is 30 amas wide. And there's this gap in the middle which is 12 amas wide. Not acceptable. It can't be more than 10 amas wide. 10 amas wide is simply you have wagons going in and out, you have room for a wagon going in, wagon going out. Okay, 10 amas, that's an access to an area. Beyond that, that's too wide already. So beyond 10 amas, it's too wide. Well, to see that the more discusses that for a Mavi, maybe even less than that is a problem. One other question which you have in the Din of Oymen Meruba is, so I have this opening over here, there's some wall here, a gap in the middle, and I put this, it's too wide, it's 10 amas, it's 15 amas wide, so I put something in the middle to break it. So now there's 7 amas here, 7 amas there, and there's this amma pass in the middle. Great. Or maybe not. You know, do I say that the air space around these two sides, so that little thing in the middle, that's not really significant. So I might need Oymen Meruba in the middle vis-a-vis each one of its sides. Do I, when do I say that, when do I not say that? So that's going to be some of the things you're going to discuss in the Masechta. Erevin gets bad press. It's a hard Masechta, you know. It's not a hard Masechta. It's more, you have to be able to conceptualize it and see it. Nowadays with all the picture books, and when I learned the Erevin the first time, there was no picture books except for the Pirush Chai in its first version, which is about half the thickness of this.
Very good book.
That's very nice. That's right. So I actually have it in my back of my Gemara.
The same one.
This Gemara is out of print. That is available still. There's some areas where math comes into play. So if you're math oriented, it's a very geschmack of Masechta. If you're not, it's a little more challenging. Overall, it's not a challenging Masechta. When you start getting involved in the levels of lumdas and swaras and steers and the gemaras, it gets very challenging. That's where it gets very challenging. You're probably not going to get involved in that level for the most part. So that the pace that Daf Yomi goes does not allow you to get involved at that level. The basic Gemara Rashi is not overwhelming. I just wanted to point that out. Okay, that's love.